So the screwball serve, for those of you who don't know, is a slight side spin serve. So it is legal. Screwball serve is legal. The chop serve this way is not legal. If this is the ball, you can't do this because your paddle's above your hand. You can do the screwball serve just like this. This right here. That's okay. And what that does, instead of backspin, it just creates all side spin. You're really only looking for side spin there. So for me as a righty, there's only one thing to focus on to maximize the spin of your screwball serve or your side spin serve. So listen up. The way to maximize spin with your screwball serve is to, if you're a righty, go from right to left with your paddle as fast as you possibly can. The faster that you can accelerate right to left with your paddle, the more the ball is. Look how we made it this far. All right, we are back with another episode of the James Ignatowicz Show. Just excited to get this one started. I've had a lot of people asking me in my clinics, how do I expose my opponent's weak backhand? So I'm playing somebody that's got a pretty weak backhand. What are the ways for me to expose this backhand, make this player that I'm playing against hit a lot of backhands? How do you do it? Well, there's a few different ways to do it. And we're going to go through some specific situations where I would highly recommend attacking players' backhand. So one of the ways to do it would be on the return. I think that if you're on the left side of the court returning, I think a great spot to go is cross court to the opposing left side player's backhand. I think that's a great way to make them hit a backhand third shot because your shot is coming cross court. So it's coming at an angle which would be from your left to your right pretty quickly, which means it's actually tougher for them to get a forehand on that shot because it'll be going from their right to their left. Since they're trying to hit a ball that's now coming from their right to their left, which means that every second that goes by, it's getting closer to their backhand side instead of their forehand side, it's tougher to run around that one and hit a forehand, and most of the time you'll make that player hit a backhand. Also, it actually doesn't have to be as deep as you think when you hit that shot because if you go shorter, not that you would be hitting a short return on purpose, but if you do go shorter, that angle is actually a little more aggressive. The shorter it is, the more of an angle there is there. So it's not as big of a problem to hit that one short by accident as long as you're making them hitting a backhand, assuming that their backhand isn't that great. The other advantage of going cross court from the left to the opposing left side player is that there is more space there because of the geometry of the court, which we all know, right? If you go from one side to the other, well, that's cross court. There's an extra 4 or 5 feet of space going that way. So if you hit a little extra hard, maybe miss it a little deep, so to speak, or if maybe, you know, you would have missed it if it were down the line, since you're hitting that ball cross court with that much pace, it might actually drop in. So there's a ton of advantages there. The other way on the return would be on the right side of the court, going from your right side of the court to the inside foot of the right side player that you are playing against. So what I mean by the inside foot of the right side player that you're playing against is basically their backhand side. So that player is normally taking an extra step to their right because the left side player is taking the middle with their forehand. So since the left side player that you're playing against is taking the middle with their forehand, the right side player might be an extra step or two to their right to kind of defer that middle. So if you can get it to the middle so that the left side player cannot, or, you know, in between them, so to speak, so the left side player can't take it with their forehand, but then the right side player has to take a backhand there, that's a pretty tough drop to hit. If you're on the right side of the court, and you're trying to hit a backhand with your third, that might be the hardest third shot to hit. I personally think it is the hardest third shot to hit. And you can ask yourself, if you've ever played on the right side of the court and you've tried to hit a backhand from the middle or, you know, from a couple steps to the right of the middle, not an easy shot to hit. So those are the two returns that I would recommend. So yeah, any questions on those, make sure to reach out to me in the comments on that. And yeah, another thing, super important. If you are on the right side of the court, I actually think there are more opportunities to attack the backhand of the player in front of you than you are on the left side of the court. So I'll explain why. If you're on the right side of the court at the kitchen, let's say you're in a dinking battle, you're going against somebody that's in front of you. If they only use a one-handed backhand volley, I highly recommend to go high and wide down their line pretty often. I think this is probably the most underutilized shot because players think that they can't hit their speed-ups high. If you watch the pros, there are a lot of speed-ups that are hit pretty high. So take that into consideration. For me, if I'm playing against somebody that has a one-handed backhand volley, I like to go high and wide to their one-handed backhand pretty often. The reason for that is, if you're somebody that has a one-handed backhand volley, you probably know this. You probably feel great here, and then not so great here. And actually, the higher it is and wider it is, it's tougher. You know, I feel like a one-handed backhand volley, the closer it is to your body, the more comfortable you feel hitting it hard. The farther away it is from your body, the more difficult it is to hit that ball hard. And at the end of the day, a speed-up isn't really meant to be a winner. And if you play at a higher level, it's not always, most of the time, it won't be a winner. It's actually going to come back. So the best part of any speed up is hitting it to a spot where if they hit it to, you know, back to you, it's not going to come back that hard. So that's one of the things, it's kind of a setup. So what I would do is, if I was playing against somebody with a one-handed backhand volley, I would go high and wide, right? If they're on the left side, and then most of the time they will slice that ball. And if they slice it, this motion means it's going to go right back to you, or maybe even a little to your left, to your backhand. And if that's the case, you will have a decent opening in the middle, I would say, because it's not super easy for that right side player that you're playing against who's cross court from you to then jam the middle right away when you see that they have sped the ball up, or that, you know, when you see that you've sped the ball up to their high and wide backhand. I'm talking pretty fast. If I'm talking too fast with the explanations here, I'm sorry. I actually have to go to Miami in 10 minutes. To be honest, I forgot I was supposed to record this podcast. I've lived a pretty busy life this past year, and I get my usual text from Josh when I'm 20 minutes late, which is like half the time, which is just, you know, Josh gets the worst of me. I'm actually a very timely person, and then by the end of the day, I'm just, anyway, I'm going to Miami in 5 minutes, so if I'm rushing, sorry, put it on 0.75x speed. So another way to find the back end of the player that you're playing against, if you're on the left side of the court, going with a cross-body attack, which we talked about, I think, in the last episode, a cross-body attack to the right-side player that is in front of you. So one of the advantages of this attack right here is that you can hit this one harder than the high and wide, high backhand speed-up from the right. All right, so guys, James Ignatowicz here. I'm here to tell you about Selkirk's newest creation, the Vanguard Pro. It's got vibration, absorption, thermoform. It's got 4 layers of 12K raw carbon, and I've tried it. It's an awesome paddle. Selkirk's always coming out with the best new stuff, and I've always tried every single new paddle that they've come out with. That's just because I'm addicted to trying new stuff, and Selkirk's always, you know, surprising me with new great paddles. So if you're anything like me, or if you just want to use a great paddle that's got great vibration, absorption, extra power, it had great spin and great control, felt like it had pretty much everything I wanted, make sure to try it. Vanguard Pro, awesome paddle, give it a shot. So the reason that you can hit this ball being on the left side of the court with your backhand going across the body of the right side player in front of you, the reason that you can hit this ball harder, and by the way, this ball will be landing somewhere in the middle of the court, so to make it super clear, we're going to slow it down. You are, in this situation, the left side player. You're hitting a speed up from your left, from your backhand area, or even around to your backhand area, across the body of the person that is in front of you, your opponent, who's now playing the right side, across their body to the middle of the court. So from your left to the middle of the court, if you can get it to the point where the left side player across court from you cannot reach this ball with their forehand, which for the most part they won't be able to, because if that ball that you're hitting is bouncing in the middle of the court, that means that it's crossed the opposing kitchen line a lot closer to the right side player. If it bounces in the middle, that does not mean that it crossed the kitchen line through the middle. So that left side player's forehand is probably not going to be in a spot where they can take that ball, unless you're playing against, you know, a top pro who's super ready for it. But even in that case, I think this is a good speed up. So you go across the body of that person in front of you, and you can actually hit this one harder because you are going over a slightly lower part of the net and you're going into slightly more space. So because those two things are combined, you can hit this one pretty significantly harder. It feels to me like 15% harder I can hit this shot, and that matters. The pace that you can hit a speed up at does help. I don't think it's the most important thing. I think hitting the right spot, just like I said earlier, is the most important thing, but if you can hit it harder, that does help. That's added. So of course, that's additive, so don't get me wrong there. So those are the two speed ups. If you have any questions, if you need visual representations, well, that's great because we will be posting visual representations on this specific shot on my YouTube channel later this week. So no more shameless, unnecessary plugs. Now I'm only shouting out my YouTube channel if it is, if it's relevant, which I think in this case it's pretty relevant. So, okay, we've got that. The other way that I think actually it is maybe, in my opinion, my favorite way, and this is an interesting one because I personally don't use the screwball serve. And I've got an assistant coach, Jared Cohen, who keeps telling me, James, you've got to use the screwball serve. It's a great way to mix things up and have some fun. And I actually think that if I am playing somebody, I'm thinking of implementing this serve. If I'm playing against somebody that does have a very weak backhand return, or if I'm playing and I'm on the left, serving from the left to the opposing left side, obviously, and my opponents are unwinding a stack, I might actually implement the screwball serve because I can hit a pretty crazy screwball serve. I shouldn't even be saying that. We might want to release this after this tournament this weekend because I got to keep my secrets close to the belt. But so the screwball serve, for those of you who don't know, is a slight side spin serve. So it is legal. The screwball serve is legal. The chop serve this way is not legal. If this is the ball, you can't do this because your paddle's above your hand. You can do the screwball serve just like this. I don't know if I have an 007 lying around to demonstrate. This right here. That's okay. And what that does, instead of backspin, it just creates all side spin. You're really only looking for side spin there. So for me as a righty, there's only one thing to focus on to maximize the spin of your screwball serve or your side spin serve. So listen up. The way to maximize spin with your screwball serve is to, if you're a righty, go from right to left with your paddle as fast as you possibly can. The faster that you can accelerate right to left with your paddle, the more the ball will spin. Taking into consideration some other variables, obviously, if you have a more spinny paddle or a less spinny paddle, right? But if all paddles are equal and all balls are equal, the faster that you swing from right to left, the more the ball will spin. That's just how it works. So I would say for you guys, if you want to get better at the screwball serve, practice swinging from right to left as fast as you possibly can, and then learn how to control it from there. I think that generally, if you try to just focus on making it at first, you're going to limit how good it can be. Because if you make 10 out of 10 on your first day, you're probably not hitting it to your full potential of how much spin you can hit it. You actually want to miss some at first, get comfortable, and then figure out what the balance is of, okay, I could hit a ton of spin here and I'm not going to miss it. And it'll take time. But I would say if you're a righty, the screwball serve can be very effective serving from the left side to the opposing left side. Going at the far corner, it will bounce in the far corner, and then because of that side spin, it's going to run away from your opponent. So if you're facing the court, we'll imagine this is righties here. You're facing the court. You are on the left side of the court, and you're serving. And you take the ball, and you go from right to left as fast as you can. You get a screwball serve. That ball, ideally, will go to the corner area, the opposite corner. So facing the net, that would be the far right, okay? And then it will bounce, and then it'll run away to the right even more, facing, you know, from your perspective, from your opponent's perspective, it'll be going to the left. So, yeah, if you have any questions on that, let me know, but I have been experimenting with it, and I do think it's a fair play. There's been a lot of questions on whether or not it's a good shot. I think you should try it, because especially at the, you know, we'll call it below pro level, that serve can be effective. If somebody's got a tough time moving up to the kitchen, if somebody's a little slower, that serve can be really effective because when it bounces, it's running away from the court. So you're not going to hit your hardest serve this way. I don't think you'll be able to hit it with as much power as, you know, if you just went for only power. But if you do hit a lot of spin with this serve, you can make it so that the distance that your opponent has to run from their return contact point to the kitchen, you can make it so that distance is very far as it could probably possibly be with any serve. So those are the main things there. I really don't have much else for you on how to expose the backhand. Obviously, the screwball serve is a great way to expose the backhand because it runs away to the opponent's backhand. That's the main thing, reason we talked about it. Couple quick updates. I'm about to play MLP Miami. I got to the semifinals of men's doubles and mixed doubles in Vegas. I think I might have talked about that on the last podcast. Shout out to my partners. Super happy with these great results. But my main thing that I'm happy about is coaching. My James Nadowich Coaching Instagram. You know, all these clinics I'm doing. I actually do like coaching. If you watch the podcast, you can probably tell I have fun. I'm not just, you know, you can ask Josh. I don't just show up and say, oh, I don't even know what to talk about this episode. I'm just gonna, you know, waltz through it. No, not true. I come prepared. So anyway, that's all, guys. Thank you for watching, and that's all we got.